This episode of Football 301, it's me and me. Just a solo episode, special Christmas night recap after the streaming day of Christmas games. Cowboys, Commanders, Vikings, Lions, Broncos, Chiefs. Some entertaining aspects amongst the backup quarterback brigade battle, but still fun. Rode this solo, so hopefully you guys liked it. See you guys in a sec. Hello, welcome back to Football 301, a special Christmas night edition. Nate Tice here. I am solo after the streaming bonanza on Christmas. Thankfully, I am a junkie and have those streaming services, both Netflix and Amazon Prime, so it's great. Also bought league passes here to watch the Timberwolves. That's a side story with Prime, but it's great. But no, I'm here solo to recap the three games that had some moments of entertainment. We had a lot of backup quarterbacks, a lot of backup players playing, but actually had some, you know, some ball games that happened in today, as opposed to some supposed blowouts if you just looked at the spreads, including some upsets if you looked at the spreads. But we'll start with the first game that featured not just a backup, but a like preeminent backup. And Josh Johnson starting for the Commanders, playing the Cowboys. Cowboys win this game 30-23. Bill with a couple touchdowns for the Commanders. Quinnen Williams played, had some moments. Clowney had some moments as well, but still that run game, still that Cowboys defense, still leaky. And this Commanders offense and that old line, it's really come along. It's a good old line. It's a good run game. They've kind of just done stuff throughout the year, even with some Debo in there, you know, just some stuff happening in that offense. But the Cowboys, I mean, their offense really, I mean, just had some high highs. Dak Prescott, at times today, just could feel him in full command, especially against a Commander's defense with Dan Quinn. That's just, it's simplistic. You kind of know what you're getting against them, both front-wise and coverage-wise. And I think you felt that in the run game. That's something I kind of want to maybe study a little bit more, but hopefully they hire a new defensive coordinator, a new mind in there to kind of change up the defensive calls and just defensive scheme, just add some new ideas, because it's not only just very simplistic, a lot of cover three, a lot of man. It's just it's predictable. And also there's just botches. I would say the Turpin touchdown today, which was a great execution by Dak, I believe it was on third down. And that was 989, which is one of my favorite concepts in football because it's the most like at you pass play, 99. I talked about this actually a couple weeks ago or a week ago. Drake May scored a touchdown on it to Kyle Williams. Just two go routes on the outside, nine on the route tree. And then the eight in the middle is the middle eight. It's a read route. So if it's single high, that read route runs a dig. An in-breaker that runs straight across. And then if it's a two open or an open coverage, cover two quarters, they take it right down the middle. They split the pipe. They run down the pipe, split the two safeties. And on that play, it's basic cover two. And the middle runner just doesn't run with Turpin. And you can see why the Cowboys put him at the slot there. I just thought that was great design, great execution to call it on third and long. I think is, and Dak has shown he's already aggressive with that play. He hit one a couple weeks ago against the Vikings. In that game, that barn burner, in a huge moment. And it's cool when it's a totally like we got better players play, usually at receiver, but also a quarterback too. And it's cool when it gets executed that way. But man, I just think Cowboys are in an interesting spot. I just want to figure out what they do this offseason, whether they go Pickens. I talked about it with Sheil earlier this week. So make sure you check out that show. That was a lot of fun with Sheil Kapadia from The Ringer. But I'm just curious what they end up doing. Like if they end up going with Pickens, how they round out their defense, how they use their picks. I think it's kind of cool. They're set up O-line wise. I think they have enough weapons. I think they obviously could go with a running back as well. Javonte Williams started well and then got hurt. By the way, that Cowboys run game, they hit like every type of run play, draw, trap, power. That's another thing. Like if you go against that Commander's defense, it's so simplistic and so like you know what you're getting. And there's not a lot of bodies on the line of scrimmage, and you can kind of just run what you want to run. So that's why the Cowboys run game was they could run what they wanted to run. What they have, I actually copy and pasted these notes. This is great. I get to go solo and I can just kind of ramble around this. Cowboys had 50% rushing success rate. They had more runs where their backs reached 15 miles an hour more than they got stuffed. They had three of those 50-mile-an-hour runs, and they got stuffed twice, 211 yards. I mean, they were just pounding the rock, 44 total run plays. And I just thought the Yeah, Commanders just can't keep up. It's a year from hell from them. I want to see how they reload. They don't have all their ammunition in the draft, but I think they also just, with Jayden Daniels' injury, curious where they end up going and what happens there. I think the wind kind of came out of their sails today with that kind of punt at the end of the game. It was a bad sequence. It was like penalty, negative 2 yard run. Oh, no, it was a 9 yard run, first and 10, 0 yard run, negative 2 run, 5 yard penalty, punt. That was kind of like when the game was felt like it was over. Anyways, kind of meander around these two teams. Cowboys, I kind of felt like this game ended up how I kind of expected. Their defense isn't great. The Cowboys, curious what they're going to do this offseason. Cool offense. Dak is playing at the peak of his powers. I really like Brian Schottenheimer. I really like Clayton Adams. Well, I want to see what they do kind of with their toys and with their assets this offseason, see what, how they can level up next year. I think they're going to be a very interesting team in 2027. And the Commanders have a little bit more questions, but we'll sure talk about them over the next couple of weeks. I do like the O-line, though. All right, let's go with the NFC North, formerly NFC Central battle, Vikings, Lions. The Lions were big favorites in this game. And that, I mean, 6 turnovers is not going to do it. Even when the Vikings got, yes, Stone, producer Stone, who is here with me on Christmas, so shout out to him, has this note, which I also had the note, that the Vikings had 3 net passing yards. Max Brosmer, in particular, had 3 net passing yards. And I believe that means they forced double amount of turnovers, 6. Then they had net passing yards, 3. That is just, that's a shout out to Brian Flores and the defense. The Lions are officially eliminated from the playoffs. This is a season from hell from them. The Packers are in the playoffs for sure now. But it just is, this is just how the season has felt. Like the run game, the Lions are built on the run game and they're built on their offensive line. And that has just not been whole this year. Even their plan, their supposed plan, kind of got askew with injuries, which is just how the rest of their roster has gone. But now the offensive line didn't have that depth. What was depth was starting this year, aka Graham Glasgow, aka Dan Skipper. And now when those guys have to play extended periods of time and then they get hurt or other players get hurt, then you're dipping into deeper depth and projects are forced to play. Or when Christian Mahogany gets banged up, you know, they just were left kind of always one step behind and their run game just wasn't consistent. You know, they would pop off huge runs and Jahmyr Gibbs would take some to the house. David Montgomery has taken some big runs as well. But that O-line was just kind of, to me, the story of the season. And obviously Dan Campbell taking play calling duties is pretty, from his offensive coordinator John Morton, is a pretty big deal as well. Defensive injuries, I thought Shepard did a nice job this year at times. And of course, I felt like, again, I've referenced this, that I felt like right when I started touting hit what they were doing, it all fell apart. And again, they're just like their defense, and the Jets are going through this as well with Aaron Glenn, is that they are also kind of predictable. Just like I was talking about the Commanders, they have a unique way. They're big up front. But they also just kind of get peppered. You can kind of know what you're getting. A lot of man coverage, a lot of cover 3 on early downs. So I just think that the Lions just have, I think they need to restock in the trenches on offense. Obviously get healthy in DB room and go from there. I'm still not like, oh my God, the sky's falling for them. But man, that quote with Dan Campbell saying that the window, you know, you never know when you're going to get back here. Like that just like resonates. And the Tesla touchdown was awesome. I mean, he's a cool player. I'm curious to see where his career goes, but I really, really like him because his talent is, he's just so talented. But I mean, Goff had an interception to Harrison Smith I believe it was a burner concept, they call it, which is a post and a dig in the Shanahan offense, but this is like a Sean Payton offense. Doesn't matter. that was just a great play by Harrison Smith, but also it was just kind of like, okay, you guys get us with these digs all the time. So boom, just film watching, conference or division play, these teams, this defensive coordinator has played against this type of offense multiple times, this quarterback Jared Goff so many times. And you could see this Vikings defense just like, I mean, they've really cranked it up the last month or two. I feel like they're playing like a legit top 5 defense. I think stats back that up as well. But I mean, the 5th turnover, because there's 6 of them, Goff had the fumble. He gets sandwiched by 2 edges because 2 guys just win on the outside. They had some bad snaps that happened today, but again, that speaks to the story of what happens with the Lions with their center and playing out backups. But the Vikings, though, this defense, I feel like how many batted balls this defense gets, how many times Harrison Smith or somebody is jumping up, Jalen Redmond, they're jumping up and just batting balls down. Redmond's awesome, by the way. But it's cool to see an aggressive defense that got attacked in certain ways. At first, it was screens, getting the ball out quick. Really, Brian Flores, what they do now is they rip the training wheels off of offenses and quarterbacks and then push you down the hill and see what you can do. That's what they dare you to do. And that's what he dares you to do. But it's cool that the common answer is, okay, if I'm getting blitzed, I'm going to throw a quick screen. You see the defenders just get up and get their hands up. So they just know the meta. You know, they know what you how you're going to beat us. So we're going to do this to beat you back. And it's really cool to see a defense or a unit. Usually defenses do this more than anything. They just rip, it's kind of ripping the wings off a fly. Just like, okay, you want to do that? Nope, you're not doing it. You're not doing that. So we're going to make you do the hard thing over and over, and you have to execute over and over. And this is not the version of this Lions offense. I've seen them do it, and I've seen Jared Goff do it, but that was last year when they were cooking and Ben Johnson was cooking. And not just say it was all Ben Johnson, but the offensive line was cooking. And we miss Frank Ragnow very, very much so in Detroit. But the Vikings, Brosmer, the 3 net yards. I mean, he had the one last pass to Justin Jefferson to ice the game. The Brosmer's dad sure loved it. That's the one that stood out to me. The Addison jet sweep touchdown was sweet. Also hit 21 miles an hour, which shows, you know, 40 times are bogus. It's all about game speed. But man, I just thought the story of the game was Flores and just like the back half of the year of the Vikings team. Because I just, this is what I envisioned for this team, is that they could do stuff like this with iffy quarterback play. And it's just been even worse than I envisioned there. But I think the rest of the team did some cool things and has done some cool things. So also started the game with a corner blitz, which I thought was hilarious. And the Lions knew what they were going to do. Yeah. Could go on forever about what Flores does. And I thought that, man, I think this defense is so cool. They're a weird team. I don't think Brosmer did anything today where I'm just like, oh, yeah, this is the Brock Purdy of the Vikings. I think it's more, all right. We still got question marks at this position. Hopefully McCarthy, I don't know. They're talking about that he has the very, very, that was the actual quote, very, very small fracture in his hand. And I just want to, you know, see if he even plays. Don't even know if he does. But man, they have some questions there. Interesting teams both here. NFC North. All right, let's get to the last game. AFC West. Broncos beat the Chiefs by a touchdown. The Chiefs made it interesting. Actually, a more surprisingly interesting and fun game compared to how the Chiefs played last week against the Titans, a team that, like, yeah, that I shout out Chris Cam Ward, by the way. Whew, I came third down. Very good stuff. But I'll be honest, Chiefs are starting a quarterback that I barely watched. And they whipped some throws in there. They did the best they could. I mean, the fact that he only got sacked once, it was just remarkable considering that the Chiefs are playing backups at tackle and the Broncos defense is the Broncos defense, which has tapered off a little bit, but still good and still feisty and still does funky stuff and hard stuff in this Chiefs offensive line. When they've been out into their backup offensive tackles, it's just been, it's been a little, you know, mid-ish, if not worse. And they, I don't know, they did okay today, but you just kind of felt, you know, some playmakers not actually ending up. I thought the Broncos offense was just can't really get much going. If you want me to be honest, that's what that kind of just felt. They had that. That's a lie. They had some really long drives. So actually, maybe that's the way to put it. But I did think they had some frustrating moments because I did note, because I'm going live right after this game ended, and this game ended quick, by the way. I'll stall on my own show with this. That first half between this game lasted 1 hour and 6 minutes. That was shorter. Shout out to Keegan Abdu, Next Gen Stats, for having that. That was shorter than the first episode of the newest season of Stranger Things, which was 1 hour and 8 minutes. So that was, this game was like a Greg Maddux start, man. This one flew by. Broncos, though, 14 play drive, ended a field goal. Next drive, interception, which was a rough drive. I will admit that. Punt, 5 play drive. Then they went 16 play drive, 14 play drive, 14 play drive. They also had a 6 play drive. They punted there, my bad. But they had some long drives. Four drives that are 14 plays or more. That's why this game ended so quick. I mean, yeah, it's dinky dunky. It's Knicks can be frustrating, but I also thought, like, the last play, the touchdown that iced it or that wins the game onto RJ Harvey kind of like sums up Knicks a little bit for me. Just makes the touchdown just a little bit harder than it has to be, but then just whips in an awesome throw. I mean, just fire that pigskin in there. Like, it was freaking varsity blues. And I mean, you heard it. I think Harvey's got the Elway cross right in the chest. He took that thing right to the chest. And I think also, by the way, I think center mics were cranked up this week, starting with the Philip Rivers game or the Philip Rivers Colts 49ers game. And throughout the week, I feel like the center mics were cranked up. The people that don't know, centers were microphones. So that's why you hear the cadence and stuff. If you didn't know, that's why you hear the like when the pads crash and everything. Yeah, I felt like they were cranked up this week. But anyways, because you felt like that on the Chris Jones when he jumped off sides. Really heard a lot of cadence stuff like that during that series. Jones might have gone back on side, by the way. That was my also thought on that play. But no, this Broncos offense, just a lot of dinky dunky. Knicks had a cool scramble touchdown when Sutton got kind of hemmed up, didn't really finish his route, kind of maybe been double covered on it. But man, I just thought the long drives, they punched it in at when they needed it. And that's just kind of how I feel about this team. It's like the defense, yeah, they've been more gettable, but they're still pretty dangerous and still pretty tough to go against. But it's kind of hard to assess them in this week. And it's also a short week. It's so funky as far as just timing of the season. So it's just really hard. Like I've said this before, but a rule of thumb for me is as far as how I weigh games when I'm reviewing these games, like all 22 wise, data wise, Thursday night games, short week games, I weigh the least. Because I just think that they're just so funky how game plans are, even if they are division opponents. I know these teams did some of them play Saturday and everything, but still a short week. Division opponents and everything, it's just hard for me to kind of just go like, oh, this is indicative of anything with the Broncos, other than it's a funky on the road game on Christmas, yada yada. I'm not trying to make human element excuses. I'm just trying to explain that just like when I'm reviewing, the Jaguars game to me, I weigh more, and the Packers game for the Broncos than this game. I mean, obviously they won. You were going to weigh that, but I'm just saying the negative aspects. I'm really trying to figure out their defense. I mean, they're fighting for the number one seed, and I mean, they're real close to getting it. And I'm just really trying to weigh, like, is this defense the one type of defense that no matter how the offense plays, it's going to be down to these drives, these last drives? Or is it like, well, the defense isn't good enough, the offense has to play perfect, and they're kind of up and down week to week as far as how they run the ball. Their run game has actually been pretty decent in last month or two. But as far as just how the passing game is, which is a conversation I feel like every time we have the Broncos, it's just how it's going to be. So I've just being honest here, just talking about it, I've been trying to figure out exactly how I kind of this defense is for me in the hierarchy. I think it's still good. Is it excellent? Is it we can ride this unit? Much like that's how I feel about the Texans defense. I think they can ride that unit, even though, of course, Janty pops off on them. But I think you can ride that unit with the offense being enough. And then that's for me is like, is this just two above average units? Is it an average unit and a good unit? AFC is so wide open. Broncos are as live as anybody for me. I'm not saying we're not knocking them at all, but they're just a confusing team, much like a lot of these AFC teams are very, very confusing for me. But hopefully the show wasn't confusing for you guys. I had fun doing it. And just rocking it solo with Stone, just us two. It's pretty sweet. Thank you all for checking this episode out, this special Christmas episode out. I'll be back on Sunday live with Chuck to react to everything that's great and not so great in week 17. It's going to be a lot of fun because there's plenty of good games. I actually kind of made a little short list as we wrap up. Texans, Chargers, Ravens, Packers, Jags, Colts, Bears, 49ers, Eagles, Bills. Pretty pumped to watch week 17 and chat about it with Chuck. But hopefully everybody had a great Christmas. Hopefully you guys checked this episode out and enjoyed it. Thank you all for listening. Have safe travels. Hope you enjoyed your families this holiday season. And see you guys next time. See you on Sunday. Later.